Well, good evening once again. It's good to see you all here tonight. We want to open up in our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 5, and also the book of Numbers, chapter 15. So if you'd find those two portions, we'll look at a couple of stories before we begin this message tonight, continuing on with what we were talking about this morning concerning the Sabbath. And before we do, I'd like to just look to the Lord once again in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just do continue before Thee this evening. And Father, we need Thy help as we look into Thy Scriptures concerning the Sabbath that You had set aside for Your people, Father, as a day of rest. Father, to be holy and to be set apart so that all the other nations and people would know, Father, that Your people belong to You and that they would be to remember You and to serve You, Father, all the days of their lives. We pray, Lord, that You would help us, that we'd hear Your voice tonight. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's first look at John. I'd like to take a look at chapter 5, brief story that we've looked at before, beginning with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then answered they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now back to the book of Numbers, chapter 15, starting with verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, The man shall surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, we want to just briefly look over some of the things we discussed this morning concerning the Sabbath. We wanted to look at some basic instructions, some basic questions that we would ask ourselves about this Sabbath day. What was it for? What does it mean? what was its purpose. And so we got through the first and second question, which was, what is the Sabbath? And in it, we came to the conclusion that the definition was to cease, to desist, to basically stop your work, to stop whatever you were doing and take that time to not do the things you would normally do. And we talked about some scriptures and starting all the way back in the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where God rested on the seventh day from his work. And we talked about he had blessed it and how he sanctified it, how it was something that was to be set apart. It was to be put to the side. It was to be different from all the other days. We looked at some verses in Exodus 20, where after time had elapsed and God created his nation of Israel through the seed of Abraham, and after his sons and his son's sons had gone down into Egypt and into the bondage for over 400 years and were brought out into the promised land, God was then able to give them the law. And in this law, there were many things written. One of those first things at the top of the list was this Sabbath day and what they were to do on this Sabbath day. And God commands his people to remember the Sabbath day. We talked about the significance of remembering and what it means to remember and the things that we would look upon. And we got into many aspects of this Sabbath. There were many things linked in here, things like obedience. We talked about Saul and David and the importance of obedience and what it means to remember and the great symbolism we find all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and in particularly in relationship to some of these colors that we just read about. And our brother has been talking to us a little bit about these colors and the importance of them and the meaning behind them. And we talked about the blue in relation to these fringes that they were to look upon, that were to be on their garments, on the corners of their garments, on their cuffs and near their feet. And these fringes that were to be covered in a ribbon of blue, speaking of the perfection and the completeness of Christ. And so that brought us to why. Why was it important? Why was this Sabbath day so important that it was to be set aside? Why was it that God would take something that he had sanctioned, that he had looked at as holy, something where he had taken those 6 days of work, the 6 days of labor that God did upon this earth when he created everything, and the skies and the earth and the firmament and the seas and every living creature and man himself, and would rest on that seventh day? And so why was it important? And we looked at some verses in Exodus 31 where God commands Israel to keep his Sabbaths. It was to be, number one, a sign. It was a sign, something that they were to look upon. You know, we have signs all around us. I mean, you can't drive down the road without seeing a sign in front of you. You know, you look at the road markings, the double lines. You can't pass on a double line unless it's broken. You see a sign where there's a road blocked off or a detour or a turn here or an avenue down there. And so we almost live our life following or looking for signs, looking how to get from point A to point B. And so there's signs all around us. And God uses the simple things to reveal himself in these signs. And so he used very tangible things, things that we were able to look at, things that we were able to visibly view and look upon them and be reminded of something that wasn't necessarily a part of this earth, something that was holy, something that was spiritual. And so it was a way for God to communicate, in a sense, to his people. And so we have this blue that speaks of his perfection. And we see that in his creation, that he rested on the seventh day, and he looked at all he created, and it said that he saw it, and he said it was good. It was good, and he rested from that. And we see, even in his creation from the beginning of time as we know it, that there was perfection in everything that God did, the completeness. And they were to look at that color and be reminded not just of the Sabbath day, but of all of his commandments, all the commandments that he commanded. And we talked about not just the Ten Commandments that we often think about written on those tablets of stone, but the many, many commandments concerning meats and drinks, concerning offerings, concerning how the tabernacle was to be put together and how it was to be carried. Our brother spoke to us about how that blue was to cover certain articles contained in the tabernacle. And so there was much to be remembered and reminded of. And we even heard this morning how these things were to be written on their hearts and written on their doorposts. It was to be all around them so that these signs, these symbols, were to never, never, never be forgotten. And again, these are things that we have all around us all the time. We have national heritage that we look at, a flag that the Olympians look at to say that is the symbol of their country, that is a symbol of their heritage and where they're from. And so it is with the children of Israel, that God was able to give them tangible signs and symbols of what they were to remember. And one of those things was this Sabbath day. It was very important for them to remember this. But why? Why was it so important? It was a sign between God and Israel to be a perpetual. This was not to just stop after a certain amount of time that had elapsed or a certain number of generations. It was to be a perpetual ongoing symbol between God's people and himself. And so point number two of why it was important was that ye may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In Exodus 31, 12 through 18, we read that God says that it was for them to know and understand that it was God. It was because of his perfection that they were set aside. It wasn't anything they had done. And hopefully we can look at this more in depth tonight in the New Testament, because this would get perverted over time. And the people would take these things that were to be symbols of God's perfection and God's holiness and God's righteousness, and they were somehow twisted to make it something that they thought was in and of themselves over time. And so it was a symbol that they would know that it was the Lord who sanctified them. You know, it wasn't Abraham that chose God and that said, well, I am going to serve you and I am going to do something great for you. It was God that singled him out and said, Abraham, I want to take you and give you a land. I want to multiply your seed. I want to make a great nation out of you. I want to make a peculiar people from your seed. And so it was God choosing a people for and of himself. And so they were to know through this symbolism that he was the Lord God who sanctified and set them apart. It was also to be holy unto them. It was something that was, again, to be set aside, something different, something, you know, these 6 days of the week, it was a simple thing because all of us know what work is all about. It was part of the curse. It was the curse upon man to work, to toil in the field, and to toil amongst the briars all the days of his life. And so we know what it means to work. We know that those 6 days entail work. Yet on the seventh day, it was to be different. It was to be set apart from all the other days. But then we come to the fourth part of why it was so important. Because he that didn't obey, and we went into great length and detail about obedience this morning, but it was a simple thing, you see. It entailed obedience, because if they didn't do it, if they disobeyed, it meant death. Because he that worked, whether it was the man in his house or his wife or his son or his daughter or his maid servant or manservant, or even a sheep or an oxen, anything that his house that was doing work on the Sabbath day, that man or woman or child or servant was to be killed. And we just read that account in Numbers. So he that works on that Sabbath day would surely die. Exodus chapter 35 is where we left off earlier this morning. And in Exodus 35, verses 2 and 3, it just reiterates the point that it was to be a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. He that worked would die. He that even so much as kindled a fire would be put to death. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, they were to remember. Again, remember that there was to be no work done on that day. It required obedience to remember that there was to be no work done on that day. Sons or daughters, servants, oxen or cattle, there was no work on the Sabbath day. One of the things that Deuteronomy 5:12 also points out was that they were to also remember that they themselves were servants in Egypt. They themselves were servants in Egypt. And one of the things that I thought about was a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 that our brother reminded us of this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we talked a little bit about the provision made to the servant that was in the household, to that mixed multitude that came out of the land of Egypt with the children of Israel. How there was provision made, even when God covenanted with Abraham, the covenant of circumcision, that even the servants in his house could be circumcised. And even these servants could partake of the Passover, providing that they were circumcised. And so even servants were able to fall into this provision. And what a wonderful thing it is to see in Ephesians chapter 2 that we who were the Gentiles, who were aliens, afar off, strangers, were brought nigh by the blood of Christ. And we are to remember something ourselves. And so that brings us down to the last portion of this morning's message that we didn't get to, which talked about what was its purpose. What was its purpose? So we talked about what is the Sabbath day, why was it important, and now what was its purpose. Again, the simplicity of it was that it was to be a remembrance. You know, we have many things that we remember. We talked about the things that we have in our daily lives. We talk about how we use modern technology, our telephones, our cell phones, and we have lists of phone numbers so that we can remember somebody's phone number or address or birthday. You know, one thing that is certain death is to forget something like an anniversary. You know, that's something that we have purposed in ourselves to remember. You know, the anniversary, the time when we were married. You know, and so there are times and dates in our life that we remember. And so it is with God. He wants us to remember certain things about himself, to be reminded of. And that's why in the Old Testament we see so many of these symbols, so much of this symbolism that's brought out in things like the tabernacle and the beauty of it. And our brother Roger, I can't forget those times years ago when we would spend in his house and he would go over all the articles of the tabernacle and the importance of the gold and the importance of the silver, the importance of the sockets and the importance of each piece as you would walk through the gate and the colors and the badger skins and all of those things that were used as symbols in the Old Testament. And so there is a remembrance. That was the purpose of this Sabbath day. The purpose in it was to remember something, to remember that it was God. It was him, in his infinite grace and mercy, that had sanctified them, that had brought them out and set them apart from all others. It was him that was their salvation. It was him that brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was him that fed them in the wilderness with the manna and gave them water to drink and gave them places to rest. And he was the one that led them with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. It was all about what God was doing for them. It wasn't what they were in and of themselves. And so it is with this Sabbath day. See, it wasn't something that was necessarily that was all about them. And we'll get to that portion a little later on, how the Lord Jesus talks about why the Sabbath day was. You know, the Sabbath day, it was made for them. Man was not made specifically for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made for man so that he would do what? Remember. So remembering is such an important part of this message as we talk about the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, again, he tells them to keep it holy. You keep this holy, and that entails obedience again. Remember, the Lord in his 6 days of creation rested on the Sabbath day. Remembering that you were slaves in Egypt, all this bringing to remembrance these things, these things that they were to be mindful of. And then in Numbers 15 that we just read, 37, 32 through 41, God gives these tokens, these symbols to help them, to aid them in remembrance. And we talked about the feast that we partake of every Lord's Day morning. These symbols that the Lord has so graciously given us, these simple elements that are earthly things, but they point us to something spiritual, something that we see in God's provision for us, in his Savior, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he has given us here today, in this present day and age, symbols to remind us of him. You know, I was thinking about, again, that color blue and how important that symbol is. And a thought that came to my mind as I was driving down the highway, and sometimes, you know, you lose track of things, your mind is going, and of course, that probably never happens to you, but, as, you know, you're driving down, and how many of you, when you see those blue lights flashing, does your heart start racing? Starts racing. Is he going to pull me over? Is he going after somebody else? Or what's going on? Am I speeding? What did I do wrong? And so it brings to remembrance that there is a law, there is something in effect that can stop you dead in your tracks. And so it was with the Lord in these fringes that they were to look upon this portion of their garment and be reminded of all of these laws, these covenants that God gave to them. And so the law was very strict. The law was, it was very important for the people to remember these things, because if they didn't, if they slipped up like this man in Numbers 15, well, then the result was death, taken outside the camp and stoned by the congregation. And so it was a very somber thing. It was something that was very, very important for the children of Israel to keep and to remember. And so, as we talk about the purpose of it, one of the things that obviously we talked about before was the circumcision, the token given to Abraham and his seed, and how these tokens were able to point them and remind them of God and what he was doing for them, to be separate, to be obedient, to do them. And we talked about having something that the Lord has given us every Lord's Day. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And it entails the holiness, the sanctification, the setting apart. Now, I'd like to get into the New Testament aspect of this. And as we read earlier in John, most of the portions we're going to look at tonight are in the book of Luke. But as we looked at that portion in John, we saw here that there was something interesting about what was happening. We have looked at and talked about many of these individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ came across through his walk on the earth. And it was no coincidence. These things were perfect in every way. And there we see that blue again, his perfection, and how there were certain individuals that the Lord Jesus would come across and be near, and people that whose lives he would touch, and it would change them. It would change them forever. And so it was with this man here in the sheep market by this pool of Bethesda. And the interesting thing about this, and this is what kind of spurred on my thinking about this topic, was that many of the things the Lord Jesus did in his ministry on this earth was on the Sabbath day. It was on the Sabbath day. And so what we want to try and link here is the Old Testament with the New, and is there reason to look at the Lord Jesus like these Pharisees, like these Jews, these scribes, these religious leaders, and to say, well, is there anything in here that constitutes what they're trying to say here? You know, these accusations that are coming across about the Lord really doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And so here we have, right here in John chapter 5, a healing, a miracle that is done, performed on the Sabbath day. And here's the clincher, verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And I just want to say that throughout all the Gospels, as the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders were seeking for ways to find fault with Jesus, one of the main things was that he was doing things on the Sabbath day that were not lawful. So what we want to ask ourselves, was it lawful or was it not? Well, you know, did they have good reason behind this or did they not? And I don't want to look at this in a way that's, I want to be very careful the way we look at this. And obviously, in the end, there was no reason. The reason in the very end, very interesting, because do you remember when Pilate brought the Lord Jesus out to the people? And he says to them, I find no fault in this man. And he goes on to say that you have a custom. You have a custom. He almost gave them a reason to crucify the Lord Jesus. Now think about that. Maybe it's in the Old Testament somewhere, but I never came across any custom that where they were allowed to swap out somebody and save a life. I didn't see anything pertaining to that. But Pilate knew about it. And he said, it's your custom that you can release somebody. And of course, we know what the cry was. We want Barabbas. We want the murderer. We want the one that has done the violence. We want the one that is worthy to die. We want him released, not Jesus. And so in the end, what was the reason? Was it because Was it because he had done things that were not lawful on the Sabbath? Was it because he blasphemed and said that he was God? He really was God. He was God manifested in the flesh right before their very eyes. And they didn't know it. They didn't want to know it. And so let's look at this a little bit more in depth. So the Lord of the Sabbath, part one of this, the Lord of the Sabbath. Well, let's see where the Lord Jesus starts doing things on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, 16. Some of the things that Jesus started doing early on the Sabbath day. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This is where we first find the Lord Jesus on the Sabbath. He's teaching. He's reading the scriptures. He's doing something that is quite lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But in a very short period of time, as we look over to chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, we see something here that's very interesting. "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn, and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this? What David did when he himself was hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And we read in the book of Mark what he says about the Sabbath. It was made for man. It wasn't made, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. And we already talked about why it was made for the man. For man, so that they would remember, so that they would be sanctified, set apart wholly unto the Lord. Remember that it was him that sanctified them. And here we find Jesus doing something with his disciples on the Sabbath day. Now, lawful or not lawful? Well, if you look back into the Old Testament scriptures concerning these things, well, you can see that there was provision for people. If you were on somebody else's property, it was lawful. It was legal to pluck part of the corn off of the ears. But you were to not break the stalks down. You weren't able to go in and break stalks down and take them home to your house. But you could pick and eat. And even during the time of harvest, it said that those that owned fields were not to plow or to cultivate or harvest the corners so that the poor could partake, so that the poor were taken care of. And we see that even in the book of Ruth, as Ruth was taking in Boaz's field. And so there was really nothing wrong with what he was doing with his disciples. Yet he turns to them and he says, "You've never read about what David did. Now, why didn't David die? What about what happened there? How come he was able to go in when he was hungry, him and his men, as they were trying to escape, trying to run and escape the clutches of Saul and his death blow that he was trying to put upon David and his men?" He says, "Did you ever read about what happened, what David did? How he went in and he took the very showbread and ate that. David wasn't killed for that." So there's something a little bit deeper here. There's something a little bit more mysterious, maybe, that these Pharisees and scribes weren't understanding about the Lord. And it's interesting what the Lord says here. He says, "The Son of Man, he is the Lord of the Sabbath." He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Why? Because he was there with the Father when it was instituted. He was there with the Father at the framing of the beginning of the world, of the earth as we know it. He was right there. He was right there resting with the Father on the seventh day. And so he's able to say, "I am Lord of the Sabbath also." He says, "The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So we find him eating on the Sabbath day. We come to the second part, healings on the Sabbath day. And this is again where we started off in John. And if we look just a little further down in chapter 6, we see here a story, verse 6. "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up, stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. Now, is he going to heal him right away? What's he going to do? Then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto them, "Man, stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. So you can see what's going on in the hearts of these religious leaders. You can see what's brewing within them, because this man is taking something that they think they understand, and he's disgracing it. That's what they're seeing. But they're not understanding. They don't remember the true purpose of what this Sabbath day is all about. And that's why Jesus poses this question. What is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To save this life or destroy it? You know, I would pause to think, well, if those scribes and Pharisees were walking down the road on the Sabbath day and saw a man down in the ditch, hurt, helpless, bleeding, ready to die, would they help him? Because it was the Sabbath day? Probably not. Because they would walk right on by and say, "Well, it's the Sabbath day. Can't do that work. That's work." Well, let's see how holy, how upright, how righteous these men are. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, art thou loosed from thy infirmity?" And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all the adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things which were done by him. You see, these men that looked so religious and pious and talked the talk didn't really know what it meant to walk the walk. You see, even they would go home and they would untie their cattle and lead them out so that they could have water, something that wasn't lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And yet they were accusing the Lord of glory, the Son of God, of healing, of saving life, of changing people's lives because it was the Sabbath day. What better day to have done it than on the Sabbath day? And here they are. Here they are. Their mouths stopped because of the Lord Jesus. What does he say? "You hypocrites. You hypocrites. Why can't this woman be loosed from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" And then just maybe one more in Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, "And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ox or an ass fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these sayings." You see, there was an issue with the heart of these men, and that's something we discussed times before, how their hearts were not right before the Lord. It was an issue, a matter of their hearts, because they didn't understand really what the Sabbath was all about. They took something that that they were able to turn and twist and make law and talk about and make and lord over and rule over these people, and yet they themselves would go home and save an animal from dying. Yet this woman, this man, couldn't be healed on the Sabbath day, according to them. Now, finally, Matthew 23. I just want to look at these quickly before we close. Book of Matthew, chapter 23, and this kind of sums up the position of the Pharisees and the scribes. 23 verses 1 through 6, and think about what we read back in Numbers. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on the men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fringes. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." You see, they took the fringes to the nth degree. They made them very broad. They made them very broad so people could see that, wow, these are the men that know the law. That was that symbol back in the Old Testament, and they must really know the law. But why were they doing it? Well, Jesus said in verse 6, they love the uppermost rooms at the feasts, the chief seats in the synagogues, and the greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You see, this is what these men were all about. This is why they hated Jesus. This is why they sought to destroy him and kill him and put his life out. This is exactly why. We can't really look too much more into the very last part of this, but we see the Passover. The Lord partakes of the Last Supper with his disciples. It was on the Passover. It was on the Sabbath day where we find him eating with his disciples. And it's there on that last Sabbath, that last Passover, that the Lord himself institutes a new covenant. Not with the law, not with old symbols, but with new symbols. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body that is given for you. This is my blood, the new testament, the new covenant in my blood that I make with you." And we can see further on, even towards the very end, how the women prepared spices and they rested on the Sabbath. And 3 days after the Passover, 3 days on the 17th day, the first day of the week, we see that the Lord was resurrected. He was resurrected. And there's scripture verses from the Old Testament we can't look at. Concerning the day that the ark rested on Mount Ararat. It was the 17th day. As the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt after they had observed that first Passover, it wasn't too long. I would love to see where this timeline is, but there was something miraculous that happened. It said something about the salvation of the Lord when they passed through the Red Sea and came up on the other side. I wonder what day that happened on. But as we close, I just wanted to maybe talk a little bit about the Sabbath day and what it meant to those in the Old Testament times, to the children of Israel, what it means to us today. The ultimate thing that we want to see here is the Lord Jesus Christ and how it was on that last Sabbath, that last Passover, that he instituted something new, something that the law couldn't do. We see in Hebrews how that law is vanishing away. And there is a new covenant, that new covenant in his blood. Not that we make void that old law, because it was our schoolmaster to bring us unto righteousness, to bring us to see and understand his grace. What does it say in John chapter 1 about the law was given by or through Moses, but grace and truth came through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let's just close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scriptures and how we can learn about these symbols, Father, that you have given in times past. And Lord, how we can look at them. And we can remember what you did, Father, in times past. But Lord, we see Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that we can see him high and lifted up. We thank you for the great tokens, the great symbols that you have given to us, Father, that we might remember. Help us, Father, to, in these last days, be set aside, to be holy unto thee, Father, just as you had commanded your people of old. Father, part us with your blessing now. Help us as we go to our homes, Father. Take us in safety now in your son's name. Amen.